Look at all these crazy people. I'm kind of freaking out right now, so bear with me. My name is Josh, and I am an alcoholic. What it was like. I was born and raised right here in South Tampa, beautiful 813. It's my home. I'll probably never leave, but never say never, I guess. I don't know. Growing up in South Tampa, it's an interesting environment when it comes to a sense of partying. I come from a very, very poor family. My mother and my father both are alcoholics as well. Alcoholism kind of runs in my family. So I didn't really pay too much attention to it when I was a kid. You know, I thought mommy was just always funny all the time, but turns out that was not the case. It was pretty rough growing up in my house, I'm not gonna lie. My parents got a divorce when I was about like 9, and that really affected me in a mental sense. When I was going to school, I didn't really have a lot of friends. I was kind of like a outsider, so to speak. I was a very weird individual. I acted out in very, very interesting ways. I became a very big liar at a young age. Didn't realize it. I used to do all sorts of kind of crazy things to get out of class. Like, I told people I saw a ghost, and like, I walked out of class. Everybody's looking at me like, what the hell's wrong with that guy? It was something that, like I said, I never paid attention to the way that I acted when I was a kid. I just thought that I was, you know, it was always about me. Sorry. It was always about me. I wanted everything to be about me because I felt like I wasn't getting attention at the house that I was living. So at about age 11, I was introduced to a lovely thing called Jägermeister. That's pretty much all I got to say about that. Growing up in high school, I actually ended up getting friends, and they ended up not being the kind of people that I was supposed to hang out with. It was a very collective crew in South Tampa that we all grew up knowing each other, and we used to always go to West Shore Mall on Friday nights and just totally wreck havoc, man. The things we did were just unforgivable at that poor place. And that's what we did, man. That's what I did. I would party the hardest out of anybody that was in our clique. That was all I did, was drink. I ended up being that guy that no matter where I went to, whatever, I was like 13 or 14, 15, I think. No matter where I went, I always asked, you got a beer? You got a beer? You don't have any beer in your fridge? What the hell's wrong with you? You know, that kind of thing. And it kept coming up every year. As the year go by, I realized that I was going nowhere in my life. I dropped out of school as soon as I hit 16, and I got my GED like 2 weeks afterwards. And my father has this thing where he likes to tell me all the time, you know, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? And I had the same answer every time, drinking. Because that was pretty much how I was taught to raise, how I was raised. It was really funny. I ran across an old video that my dad was playing in his VCR a couple days ago. It had me about 5 years old, and I'm sitting there on my dad's lap at an old friend's pool, and they have on video, and they're passing a joint around right in front of me when I was 5 years old. So when I think about things like that, I realize what kind of environment that I was actually raised in. And it was definitely started reflecting me when I got older. I met individuals. This is kind of an important part of my story because I'm kind of rambling. I'm sorry. But it was New Year's Eve back in 05. And I was chilling with my dad. We were sitting there having beers, partying up, you know, waiting for the ball to drop. And we lived off of Iowa Street down in South Tampa. And I saw this guy come out. And we were sitting there partying. We were cranking up 98 Rock. Metallica was playing. Always great. And he was, like, yelling across the street, turn it up louder. And so we turned it up louder. Long story short, I ended up going across the street. We ended up drinking a lot that night. and I met these guys, Cody and Kyle, and they ended up being my best friends that I've ever had in my entire life. And they went through a lot of crap with me because I was getting to a point where every time I would drink, I would get very violent. And that was something that I realized that happened with my mother. She's a very manic depressive person, and she still is today. So I keep her in my prayer life almost every night, hoping that I can be an example of what I'm doing now. But I kept going in and out of jobs. I must have had like 10 jobs within 2 years. I just did not give a damn about anything. I just wanted to. It got to a point where my drinking made me want to die. Like, I never thought that I would ever think of suicide, but the last couple of years, man, it really happened. These guys took me in. I was having some problems with my family, so I ended up moving in with them. And this was a period of about 7 years where, you know, we went through everything together. You know, they were truly brothers to me. And one time, it was about a year ago, February 2nd of last year, actually, it was my friend's dad's birthday. And they had a friend of theirs that got shot down in West Palm Beach, and he had a daughter. I have a daughter as well. I forgot to mention that. And they had this canister that they would put money in all the time to send to the family. And one night I ended up quitting my job. I was back at their house, going nowhere, didn't talk to anybody, didn't care about anybody. And I went to a bar when I had like $5 in my pocket. And I had a couple beers, and then this young woman walked in, and she was an eye catcher. So I was like, man, I'm out of money. This sucks. So I walked to the house drunk, very drunk. I barely remember walking to the house, actually. And I took that canister down, full of money, and I was trying to get like a little $5 bill in it. And my friend's girlfriend walked in, and she saw me, what I was doing, and the look on her face I'll never forget, because I realized that my drinking had got so out of control that I turned into the one thing that I hated the most, and that was a thief. So I walked out of the house. I had to walk all the way back to my mom's house because I didn't know where else to go. So I went to mom's house. And since that day, all year long, I was in a very depressed stage. All I did was drink every day. If I didn't have money, I would go to, you know, the Tiny Tap that's down there in Soho. That was a period of time where I would be broke off of my ass, but I would still go up there and like beg for a beer. Go around everybody, you know, you got a dollar, you got a dollar. And just for like a $2 PBR tall boy, that was all I wanted. And then when that was gone, I would go around the bar again and ask for more money. And somehow or another, because of the bum that I was, I ended up staying till the bar closed. And we would go out in the parking lot and drink even more. And that's when I realized that this is it for me. This is my life. This is all I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I'm going to drink, get hammered, and just be angry and not care about anybody that attempts to say they care about me. That was my way of thinking, because at that point, I was truly lost. And this went on for another year, all of last year of 2011. I didn't work. I just stayed at mom's house, drinking, arguments, and everything. And the next thing that happened about 2 weeks, it was back in February. I got a call from a friend of mine, and a close friend of ours had sadly been hit by a. She was killed off of Gandy by a tanker. It was a hit and run, and I went to the funeral, and I got this wristband. It says "Remember," and I haven't taken it off since. And about 4 or 5 days after that, the girl who had passed, her boyfriend, said he was going to an AA meeting. And I was like, okay, sure, I'll go with you. Why not? What else do I have to do? We're going to go catch a beer afterwards anyway, right? That's how we were, man. But I ended up getting picked up with Zach, and we ended up going to a place called the Red Door. Never heard of it. Didn't even know the place existed. And I walked in there for moral support for my friend, and I sat down, and I realized when everybody started sharing that somebody was saying something that I could relate to. I was like, yeah, I did that. Yeah, I've been there. And something clicked in my head, and I think it was God, because I remember 2 days prior to that I was on my knees for the first time. I haven't talked to God in like 3 years. And I said, God, please fix me. There is something wrong in my life. I don't know what it is, but please fix it, because I'm going to die, and I don't want to die. At least not yet. And after that AA meeting, I went home, and my mom was hammered, yelling. My dad was drunk, yelling. My brother was throwing stuff around his room, all pissed off about something. And then I went to go grab a beer, and I was about to open it. And I didn't open it. I put it back in the fridge. And I kept coming back. And for the first month or two, I kept playing with it. I would stay for meetings for like 2 weeks, and then I would go back out for like a night and then come back, because I realized that I really wanted to get this, because if I kept drinking, I was going to go nowhere except death or jail. I have a clean record, but man, if I'd have kept drinking, God knows what would have happened to me. And I got involved. I got a sponsor who I care about a lot, man. This dude's like saving my life right now. And I've met just such wonderful people that I thought I would never meet in my life. And the funny thing was is that when I kept coming back and I kept trying to get sober, the funny thing happened, my friends started noticing things in me, and some of them decided to join the program as well. I've never been called a positive influence before. So that was kind of kind of flustered me a little bit. But, you know, it's working. This thing is working for me big time. There are so many things that have happened in the past 2 to 3 months that I haven't been able to accomplish in 2 to 3 years. And the fellowship of this program is definitely what keeps me coming back, and God, definitely my higher power. Because, you know, my sponsor tells me all the time, you know, we will love you until you can love yourself. And I was like, okay, whatever, you know, throw your Zen quote somewhere else, you know. But it's so true. For the newcomer, like, I must say, don't be scared of the word God. And just, it's really hard to talk about it because of what's been changing in my life. My family life is getting better. I'm not as irritated as much as I used to be. When I first came in here, man, I wanted to punch everybody. Especially, like, this meeting was interesting to me because I walked in here for the first time and I'm like, see all these dudes with like polo shirts, and when I'm like, oh God, where am I? It was like high school all over again, man. But I kept coming back, and and I'm here. And I definitely want to say that this program does work, and if you have a single doubt in your mind that it's not for you, it probably is. Because from where I am now to where I was again, I promise to God, I'm never going back. I can't. This way of life is the only thing that I know that I can have a future life, because that's what this program has given me, is a life. And I can't wait to see the rest of the journey. So that's all I got.